Good morning, Discovery. My name is Jesse. I am your Tacoma campus lead, and I am so excited that you are here joining us today for our live stream. It is an exciting time. We are 4 weeks away from Easter, and today we're actually starting a brand new series called Before It Is Finished. We're going to be looking at Jesus' last words before Easter, before that week. And I'm excited today. We have some fun stuff we're going to be doing today over the live stream together, the first of which is communion. Today, after this message, we're going to be taking communion together digitally as best as we can. So as you're kind of listening today, if you want to go to your cabinet, grab some juice, maybe grab a Capri Sun if you have it, grab some bread, whatever you have, because we want to take those elements together today. Now, today, Pastor Antonio is going to be bringing a great word. And if you have your Bible, you're going to be in Luke chapter 23 today. And it's going to be an exciting time. And if you want to better engage and have a better digital experience with us today, there's a few things you can do. The first thing is please like the video, comment, share it, get involved. We have a great team behind the scenes that loves to talk with you and see you when you're on there. The second thing is we would love if you would be sending in your prayer requests. We love to pray. We love to be a people that pray. And even though we may be separated by space, we love to be in a place where we can be praying for each other. Speaking of connection, even though digitally, we have been trying to meet together in person lately. And last week we had a great time at Tacoma, our Tacoma campus. We had a s'mores and hot dog roast, and it was this great time. We had a bunch of people. We were all outside. We roasted hot dogs. We roasted s'mores. I didn't know that hot dogs and s'mores were a February tradition, but apparently they are now. And it was a great time to see people's faces, even if it was 6 feet away. So there's a lot of fun stuff we are doing. And then also, when it comes to connecting, we're going to have a great time to connect coming up here soon on the 14th and the 21st at our campuses. We are actually going to be having baptisms. Out of the two things we're commanded to do by Jesus, baptize and have communion, we are excited to be doing baptisms coming up soon. It's a place where we can celebrate, where we can be excited about people making that public declaration for Jesus. So that's an exciting thing. We're going to worship together. I want to pray before we jump into this song and jump into Pastor Antonio's service. I know it's going to bless you, but I want to pray for that. God, I thank you so much just for this Sunday. I thank you that as we're sitting at home and we're comfortable, I thank you that we can meet in this way, that we can connect digitally. I pray that we would have a moment, an encounter with you today, a holy moment. No matter how that looks like, whether it's on our phone or TV or computer, that we would pause right now and we would have open hearts and open minds to your word and what you're going to do in us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.
How you doing, Discovery Church, San Antonio, Macklemore? I am so excited to be here with you, wherever you are, whether you're on the couch with your family, with your loved ones, whether you're driving in the car, be safe, right? Whether you're on the treadmill or on the Stairmaster, wherever you are, I believe that God has something for you right where you are. I believe God can meet us right where we are. We're entering a four-week series, so I want to encourage you to grab your Bibles. Or if not, I know it will pull up on the screen. But we're entering this four-week series, and this series is all about answering these two questions. Who Jesus is and why it matters to us. I think it's consequential for our community. I think it's consequential for us, for the world, to answer those questions of not just who Jesus is, but why it matters for my home. Why does it matter for my children that I answer that question? Why does it matter for my community? Why does it matter for our nation and our world that we answer those questions? And so today, we're going to use some of Jesus's word as our anchor. As we kind of grapple through those questions, I want to encourage you to lean into the discomfort. I'm a firm believer as an educator that it is impossible for us to learn until we're willing to go beyond ourselves. And so I believe so much of our faith is about God emptying ourselves, right? About us pouring ourselves out so that God can pour into us. So grab your Bibles in Luke 23. And I'm going to be reading in verse 34. And then I'm also going to pull in verse 43 as well. So Luke 23, 34. This is some context. Jesus is... These are the last moments of Jesus on the cross, and the story picks up. The writer, says verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." I'm going to read that again. Verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Now let's go to verse 43. And Jesus says and replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." So there are two things that are going on in Scripture. The first is that Jesus is addressing not just the people that are there, right? Jesus is on the cross. He's hanging, dying a sinner's death, right? A man who lived a perfect life is on the cross, paying for our stuff, for our mess ups, for our failures. As Romans 3:23 says, all men have fallen short of the glory of God. And so Jesus is dying a sinner's death, dying a death that you and I could never pay for as a blemishless sheep. Jesus is dying on our behalf, and he's praying to the Father, saying, "God, forgive them," but not just forgiving the people who are around, not just the people who are alive, but I believe that Jesus is even speaking to us today. I believe he's speaking to the people in our neighborhood. I think he's speaking to the people in the house. For sure, the people in my house. He's speaking to this world and the state of this world and our society. He's saying, "God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then there's the second piece where we're addressing our need for a Savior, where there was another man who was wrongfully stealing, and he was on the cross, and he asked Jesus if he would accept him into his kingdom. And he said, "Would you remember me?" And Jesus says, "On this day, you'll enter a paradise with me." So there are two different complexities, two different things that are going on in Scripture. And this is what I've found to be true. Maybe for me, maybe it's just for me. So I'll say amen all by myself. I found it to be true that so much of discovering my need for a Savior, my need for Jesus, oftentimes starts with my need to go beyond myself, or my willingness to go beyond myself. There's a passage in John chapter 4, and I think this is really vital to our conversation today. In John chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us that Jesus It says that he had to go through Samaria on the way. So Jesus was going somewhere, and he was telling his disciples, "We have to go to Samaria." If you were to look at, you know, a geographical map, where Jesus was going, it didn't make sense for him to go the way that he was going. And not only ethnically and culturally, it didn't make sense for Jesus to be going the route that he was going. But I believe Jesus had an assignment. In verse 5, it says, "Eventually came to the Samaritan village in Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Please give me a drink.' He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?' Jesus replied, 'If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, then you would ask me and then I would give you living water.'" A few years ago, I was entering the Highway 7, heading toward City Center from Eastside Tacoma, right off of 38, literally not too far from this building. And I was driving, getting on the highway, and there was a car maybe 50 feet in front of me that literally veered off the road and hit a light pole. Light pole crashed on their car. And I'm like, "Hey, I have to go somewhere. I got things to do. I don't have time to stop." But I, you know, the Lord was like, "You need to stop." So I pulled over. And obviously I'm like, you know, I'd already surpassed her vehicle. So I run over to the vehicle. And by that time, like, the car smoking, right? The light pole fell on her car. And she's bleeding on her face. And I asked this woman, I said, "Are you okay? And can I help you? I'll call the police right now. Do you need medical support?" And she's bleeding, right? Like, and not really coherent. And like, I looked down to reach to grab my phone. And the next thing I know, I'm like dialing 911, and she takes off running. Like, so this woman who's bleeding, who's for sure in need of help. And she runs off, and I'm like, "Don't you need help?" She's like, "No, I'm okay." As she's running off. And I was perplexed by that moment. And mainly because I asked myself, how is it that someone who was in need was running from any degree or measure of help? And I said to myself in that moment, I believe she was running from herself. I think there was something else going on. I didn't know exactly what it was. But obviously, whatever she was running from was more consequential than the help that was in front of her. Why does that matter? Because I believe more than ever. I believe God is screaming from the mountaintops. I believe God is trying to get the attention of his people. I believe that God is meeting people just like this story of the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, where Jesus is right in front of us. But oftentimes we're so consumed with self that we're not even coherent, we're not even cognizant to realize that there's someone who can not only save us practically, but to save us spiritually. I know this is true about my life. I know this is true, that there are so many different areas in my life where I realize that God is trying to get me to the end of myself. Where I realize that as followers of Jesus, our need for Jesus has to surpass or exceed our need to rely on self. Because, you know, we got it all together. And sometimes I think, just like my friend who was running from me, I wonder, you know, what level of shame or guilt of the decision. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure like a police officer would probably think like was a car stolen? I don't know. I don't know exactly what she was running from. But I wonder, was she trying to cover something? And I'm a firm believer that oftentimes when we're talking about discovering a need, like identifying our need for Jesus. Most of us, maybe not all, but a lot of us oftentimes are keeping Jesus at arm's length. Like Peter, do you remember when Peter first encountered Jesus? And Jesus shows Peter that he's a better fisherman than him. And then the first thing that Peter says is, "Depart from me. You don't want anything to do with me, man. I am messed up." And I think sometimes this is what we're doing is we are so consumed with our stuff, our addictions, our broken marriages, our finances, our filthy mouths, whatever it is, right? We are so ashamed of the stuff that Jesus may get access to that we keep him at bay. So we're okay with being in the room with him. But as soon as he starts talking about our stuff, right? It's like, hey, as soon as he starts talking about my addiction or start talking about what's in my closet or what I'm doing or how I'm treating other people, as soon as he starts addressing my stuff, I'm out. And I think there are people who are like, nah, okay, get away from me because you don't want nothing to do with me. And then there are people who are like, I'm going to be here and I don't mind being around being in the room with you, but I will reject your presence the moment you start addressing my stuff. See, but God is not just in the business of addressing our fruit. God desires to get to the root. And really, that's on a very fundamental level. That's the tension that you and I have to wrestle with, I believe, today in this society, more than ever, right? We're grappling the tension between Savior, right? It's my first point. Savior versus self. We're met with the tension of having to deal with the problems and abandonment and trauma. And you know what's fascinating about John chapter 4 and the woman that's at the well, the Samaritan woman, is here Jesus shows up and he has this encounter with the Samaritan woman. And as you continue to read on in that particular passage, Jesus offers her living water. He says, "I have a gift for you." And then the response of the Samaritan woman was, "Well, good, give me the gift, because then I'll never have to come here." Right? But now let's apply this to, maybe let me apply it like this. God, you have a gift for me. Okay, give it to me, because then I'll never have to deal with the church people. I'll never have, I won't have to deal with people who are bothering me. Then you won't have to get into my business. Like, if you just take care of this sin thing, if you just take care of the fruit problem, then I'll never have to explain to anyone of all of the pictures that I'm liking on Instagram. I won't have to explain myself and what I'm writing on social media. I won't have to explain to myself on what I'm really doing at Mr. Johnson's house, right, at night. Like, I won't have to deal with my stuff. And I think God is in the business of not just addressing our fruit, but getting to the root. Here's my next point. And it's our obedience versus our comfort. There's a passage, a story in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 15, that I really believe is consequential for really tying this message together. In this particular passage in verse 10, if you were to read it on your own time or pause it and read verse 10, it says that God is rejecting Saul. So God is rejecting Saul, and he tells Samuel, he's like, "Samuel, this is what I need you to do. I need you to go and talk to Saul." And so verse 15, Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice. The sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed. Verse 16. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." He replied, "Speak." Samuel said, "Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribe of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do what is evil in the sight of the Lord?" Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on a mission in which the Lord sent me, and I brought Agag from the king of the Amalekites and have utterly destroyed all of the Amalekites. But the spoil the people took sheep and cattle, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Verse 22, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Surely to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the ram. You know, what I'm convinced of is oftentimes, just like Saul, we are in the room, the presence of, we're in the room with God, right? We have the activity, right? And sometimes Christians, we can be the biggest perpetuators of this. We have all of the right activity of God, right? But what happens is oftentimes we are presenting our stuff, right? We're presenting stuff to God that he's rejected. Here God has given a specific assignment. The word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord has been spoken to Saul. And God says, Saul, destroy everything. And Saul's like, well, I did, but I kept that one thing, and then I kept all the sheep and the best of the livestock to present to you, God. And I think that's the reality that you and I face and deal with every single day. I believe we find ourselves in the room with God, but presenting our activity. But God is more concerned not with our activity, but our heart. He's more concerned with our obedience than our discomfort. Because I wonder what was the discomfort. Right? And God being like, God, why would we destroy everything? That's good lamb. And there are people who are hungry. So maybe the need was practical. Maybe the need was like, well, God, but there are people who are hungry. And after we submit this offering to you, then the priests get to eat. And maybe there was a practical reason for him disobeying God. But he was trying to present something to God that God had already rejected. Friends, maybe there's an area in your life, like me, I'll tell of myself, transparent moment. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I presented things to God that he rejected. Like, I had tried to convince God of like the girl I was dating in college. I'm like, yeah, God, she is the one. And I knew, right, there were a million different signs that were telling me that this is not the girl. But I'm like, I'm just going to keep praying. And I knew the Lord had already rejected that relationship, but I continued to try to prop it in front of God, hoping that I would change his mind. And it's not just with girls. It's been times with jobs where I'm like, God, this is the right job. This is, and the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. And it's like, no, that's not the job. But I'm like, but God, if I just keep praying and I keep presenting this thing to you, but what we have to be reminded that God is not just looking for activity. Sometimes we can spend so much time praying and persevering and pursuing things that God has already rejected. We have to get over ourselves, because obedience oftentimes is on the other end of our discomfort. I believe God has something for you. God has something for me. But he doesn't just want our activity, friends. God wants our heart, because I believe when God gets a hold of our heart, when he gets a hold of our heart, he gets our activity. Here's my last point. His faith versus fear. And there's a scripture that I want to read to you. Two scriptures. And it's John 16:8. And it says this. It says, and he came, who is he talking about? Jesus. Jesus came to convict the world of his sins and of God's righteousness and the coming judgment. So God's solely purpose on earth was not to singularly address our sin problem. Yes, that was a part of the gig. Yes, that was a part of the cross. but it was that we would represent the righteousness of God. God's desire wasn't that righteousness died on the cross and left, and that we would have these beautiful books to read and marvel at like Dr. Seuss. No, God's design was that the righteousness that we saw from Jesus, the same power as Roman tells us that was raised, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, lives inside of us. So God wanted to create an ecosystem. You know, the first church in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, was actually an ecosystem. Them giving up everything. If you think about an ecosystem, or I'll explain it like this, a rain precipitation cycle, right? The rain needs a cloud, the cloud needs a vapor, and the vapor needs the rain to run through the environment, because the environment is evaporating these little molecules or drops, and then it evaporates and then it turns into a cloud. But it's this reciprocal process. I believe, friends, that the moment that we understand who God is and the problem, our sin problem and our need for him, that God's desire is that you and I would begin to take what he's done in us and we would reciprocate the good thing that he's done in us, and that we would allow it to be the pouring to the world, that we would go out and refresh others. And as God is refreshing us, as we're refreshing others, God will refresh us. We all have a responsibility. What happens if the rain stops working through the environment? What if the clouds say, you know what, I'm not going to rain today? What if the rain says, you know, I don't really feel like evaporating today? They all need each other in the ecosystem. Our the kingdom of God needs you, my friends, to embrace not just the forgiveness of sin, but the life, the fullness of life that we embrace from understanding that we're forgiven from our sins. We need Jesus every single day, even more so today than now. Can I be honest with you as we kind of close our message today? This is actually my second time recording this message. Transparency. And about 2 weeks ago, I struggled. I didn't even know what in the world I was communicating. So thank God for our media team, Juno and Nathan. Man, pray for them, right? Right now, pause it and pray for them. And as I was driving here, I was just in preparation for my spirit and my heart and what I felt like the Lord wanted me to communicate to the friends listening today. And I heard the spirit of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, a prompting from the Holy Spirit, tell me that I will never allow you to communicate something that you don't have a personal connection or conviction to. And I realized one of the reasons why I struggled putting together my words is because I too struggle. A few weeks ago, I got in front of this camera and I tried to communicate something without giving God the proper presence to understand what God desired to communicate. Because there's a difference between what I desire to communicate and what God needs you to hear. And God was like, I will not have you come to me with your preparation without getting in my presence. So even I had to go beyond my activity. I'll give you another transparency. Because when we're talking about fear versus faith, is we have to understand that God is seeking those that are just committed. And 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. It says, what fools you have been, for now you will be at war. Do you know that the God of the universe is searching all throughout the world, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are committed to him, those who are willing, right? I love what this scripture says. It says he's searching the entire world in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Just those who are committed to him, not those who have it all together, not those who have the best church attendance or the church Christian activity. He's looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God doesn't just want your activity, my friends. He wants to get to the root. You know, my wife and I, occasionally, when her and I get into a heated discussion, or some may call it an argument, and I say occasionally because it only happens, what, every other day? No, I'm just playing. Just joke, right? But in the few occasions, right, the rarity, right, the blue moons that may happen where I offend my wife or I may hurt her, at some point in our discussion, I say this: well, just tell me what I did wrong and I'll fix it. But what I've realized and come to realize through 10 years of marriage is that my wife is not just trying to address my behavior, but she's trying to get to the root, to the heart of the decision that I made. Why would I think it's okay to treat someone that I love that way? Why would I think it's cool to do et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Why would I think it's okay? It's not just addressing our activity. God is not just concerned about changing your behaviors, my friends. God's trying to get to the root. Who are you committed to? Are you committed to the Seahawks? Right? No judgment here, right? Because we're all committed to, like, what are we fully committed to? Are we committed to our TV and to our position, our political party? I'm this and I'm that. What are you committed to, my friends? Are you committed to your church, but you're not committed to God? Watch this. You can be committed to your church, but reject Jesus. Remember, right, that God is not just into our activity. He wants us committed to faith. And without faith, my friends, without faith, our faith, our reliance on Jesus, then it is almost impossible. And Jesus chooses oftentimes not to fill the people who are filling themselves, because we're full of self. But here's the grace, that all who come to Jesus will be set free. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily laden, for I'll give you rest. We have to relinquish. We have to empty ourselves out. Our need for Jesus has to start with, or go beyond or exceed, our need to rely on ourselves. We have to come to the end of ourselves, friend. We have to come to the end of self so we can experience a Savior. Because I don't know how we can experience the fullness of our Savior when we're relying on the fullness of self. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. Our world could be flipped upside down, something like a COVID-19. And seasons like this will remind us that we need a Savior. Can I pray for you? Maybe right where you are, you just find a space where you can hear me, but maybe you can posture yourself where you can hear the Lord. Because I believe the Lord can speak to you. And I pray, God, right now, with every eyes closed and head bowed, that for my friends that are listening, that are watching this message, maybe this is their first time that they've encountered a gospel message. So this person that they've heard a lot about Jesus. They've been in church spaces where they talked about Jesus. They've been in educational spaces where Jesus was talked about or taught on, but they've never experienced the presence of Jesus. God, what I'm praying is that you would speak for yourself. There were so many people who doubted, even your own disciples, even Timothy, who said, "I refuse to believe until I see his hands, until I put my finger in his side." And Lord, you showed up. You showed up. And so I believe the same way that you showed up for Timothy is the same way that you show up for people who are committed to you. Timothy, his heart was committed to you, but he was just dealing with doubt. God, I'm praying right now for the friends that are asking, are you real? And if you're real, I'll follow you. I'll submit my life to you. God, I'm praying you would show yourself to them. praying, God, that you would show yourself to them right where they are, but you would show them yourself through your servants. Use me. Use the listeners on this call who through this message, God, that are watching. And I pray that they would say, Lord, use me, fill me up. Who are those that need to see a Christ? Because the reality is oftentimes we are the only Jesus that the world will see. Your word says that in John 13, 35, that the world would know that we're yours by how we love one another. So God, I pray that for the person who is watching right now, that they just need to make a decision to follow you. I just pray right where they are, whether they lift their hands or whether they open their, whatever that is, that they make a decision to receive you. I'm praying in this moment that they would receive you. I'm going to give you a count of three. One, two, three. You just receive him right where you are. You're included. God knew you before you knew yourself. God knew you. God knew you. God knew you. He did, my friends. He knew you right where you were. Right where you were, but also right where you are. God will meet you. Here's my second prayer request. For those that have been in the room with God, they've tasted the goodness of God, but we haven't invested or we haven't partaked in the ecosystem. Lord, I'm praying right now for where they are that they would just say yes to your leading. God, we're not going to just pursue your gifts and reject your leading. We're going to lean into your leading. So here's my prayer, God. I pray that whoever's watching, they would lean into your leading. God, that they would say yes to whatever it is that you have for them, that they would go beyond their fears and their discomfort in themselves, and in all of those things, they would find your purpose for their life. God, that's my prayer. It's my prayer for friends that are listening and watching right now, that they just need to be reminded that you have something for them. That God, you have a gift, just like that Samaritan woman. There's a gift. And that if we're willing to look beyond ourselves, we too will experience the fulfillment, the fullness of your grace, the fulfillment, the fullness of your glory and your love. And just like the Samaritan woman, we will lead masses. The entire town got saved because of the decision that Samaritan woman made. So God, we thank you. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray, we say amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much, Discovery Church.
Peace.
Thank you, Pastor Antonio, for that word. What a great way to start off a series. We are just blessed by that today. We're coming to the portion of our service where we want to worship together and are giving back. If you want to give and partner with us in helping impact our community, please do so. I also want to take a moment right now as I'm talking. If you haven't gathered those communion elements yet, make your way and grab those. And I would just be ready for that. It's going to be a moment right now where we just get to celebrate communion together. And the thing about communion that I love is that in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself on the night when he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it.'" And this is what Paul says in verse 28. It says this, it's beautiful. "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Paul is addressing the church in Corinth, and there is division, and there is hardship, and there is trials in this church. They are struggling. And Paul comes to them, and he says, "Take this bread, take this juice, take this wine, and have this holy moment." And in this moment, something that the church has affirmed for the last 2,000 years is that Jesus is present with us when we take communion. He's here with us right now as we take these elements. And as we take these elements, the past rushes forward to meet us, and it is as if Jesus is in the room. But what's great is that also the future rushes backwards to us, and we can announce the coming redemption of all things through him. And it's in this moment that we want to take maybe the next 30 seconds before you take the elements. We're going to make it real awkward digitally. If you just want to take 30 seconds, and in those 30 seconds, don't take the elements, but pray in your spirit. Repent, forgive, love, do all of these things just in these next moments. And when you're ready, I want you at home to take these elements. I'm going to do the same thing. It's going to be real awkward through this, but if you would just do it with me, I think we could grow in it together. So let's just take a moment and pray in your spirit with me. Lord Jesus, I just pray in this moment, as we take a moment of silence, a moment of peace, just to sit in this holy moment. As we take the bread and as we take the juice, that we would reflect and we would remember in this moment, like Paul says, but that we would remember that remembering is not this inactive thing where we sit and it's nostalgia about the past, but it's an activator for our lives, an activator for our faith, and that in this moment that we would look forward and ahead to the redemption you have for us as people, the future hope, and that in this symbol that you are present here with us in this moment. We thank you for the gift of communion. We thank you for the command to take it. If you would haven't taken the elements with me, if you would take the cracker or the bread or whatever you're using at home, and if you would take the juice or the Capri Sun, whatever you have, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the gift of communion today. We thank you that you are with us, you are present, and we thank you that we can announce your return, that future hope, that future redemption. In your name we pray, amen. Well, guys, I just want to say thank you. The last element we have today is incredibly important to us as well. We have some prayer requests that you guys have been sending in all throughout the week that I just want to read through a couple and pray through them. And there's a lot today. And I think, as always, these prayers, we're going through a lot as people. And anything we can do to connect and pray and come together, I just want to read some of these this morning. We have someone who's asking for prayers for our legislators. You know, pray for our leaders. Pray for those who are making decisions for on our behalf. I have someone here who's wants us to pray. Shelby and Bailey, they were involved in a pretty serious car accident on Thursday. Pray for healing. Pray for body scans that were being released. We have prayers for a mom and visa applications, that it would be a smooth process. We have someone that's thankful for being vaccinated, as well as some of their colleagues. You know, what a beautiful thing that technology can come in and help us in that way. We have my friend Monica and Brad. They have a 9-month-old son who's been running a high fever since Friday. And if you're a new parent, you know how scary that is. We have a prayer for family who has lost somebody. They've lost a family member that's dear to them. Pray for God. Help let go of anger. Man, I would love to let go of some anger. We have someone here praying for their sister. She's going to be a surrogate mother for a couple. What a beautiful gift that she can give to someone, but pray for them. And these are all things. Pray for those that are far from Jesus. Pray for eyes. Pray for healing on a hip surgery. All of these things are beautiful prayers. And I just want to pray and lift them up right now as a community together. If you would just pray for me, God, we lift you up today. We thank you so much for a community that prays, and for a community that believes that prayer works. I pray that in this moment you would lift up those who are struggling with their bodies, with healing. We pray that you are the God that restores and mends bones and tissue, and that you can do that. We pray for those that are struggling with sickness right now. You know, a 9-month-old who has a fever, that you would bring that fever down. We pray for those who are grieving, who have lost something or someone. They've lost a family member. They've lost someone close to them. Pray that you would give them a peace and a joy. I pray for those of us that are looking for work right now and that are out of it and are trying to find something to get us to that next place. I pray for that you would provide, that you are the God that provides to us. Pray for our leaders, We pray for those far from Jesus. We pray that they would learn to love you and walk with you. And pray that we would be good examples in that. In all of these things, we lift up all these prayer requests to you, God, today. In your name we pray. Amen. Again, as always, Discovery, I'm so thankful that you joined with us this morning. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you next week. Bye.